All right, Alexander, we have a lot of moves taking place at the Pentagon and moves that are really interesting given the timing as to why they're happening. I mean, these are moves that I think should have been made by the Trump White House years ago. But either way, we have obviously we know all about Esper being sacked, being shown the door.
Terminated was, I think, the word that
I don't know. Was he fired?
I think he was fired. I think he was fired. Yeah.
Okay. So Esper's out. We have Christopher Miller in, who's Esper was replaced by Christopher Miller. I'm on Reuters right now, who had been the director of National Counterterrorism Center. And the Pentagon also said that Kash Patel, who was the top counterterrorism advisor on the White House National Security Council, would be Miller's chief of staff as well. Also, it's interesting to know that Patel worked as a top aide to Representative Devin Nunes. That's also very interesting. And we also have, in the wake of Esper's departure, the Pentagon's top policy advisor resigned, allowing that post to be filled by Anthony Tata, a retired Army Brigadier General who has called Obama, quote, a terrorist leader. Now, I'm taking this from Reuters, so I'm just giving you the exact quote from Reuters. Let's see. It says that Tata failed to secure a Senate confirmation hearing in August and was performing the duties of the Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Policy. Now, the other big move was that you have Army Colonel Douglas McGregor, who has also been I'm trying to find the exact position here. Let me go on to see it. CNN, Trump administration installs advocate for quick Afghanistan withdrawal at Pentagon. That is Douglas McGregor, Army Colonel Douglas McGregor. He will be serving as a senior advisor to the acting Secretary of Defense. So people may know McGregor. He has, for his many appearances on Tucker Carlson Tonight, he has been, I would say, probably the most vocal advocate for pulling U.S. troops out of places like Afghanistan, Iraq, and Syria. He's been on Tucker many, many times. He's written a couple of best-selling books as well, talking about the U.S. getting out of all these endless wars. And that was a very interesting move as well. So, Alexander, a lot going on at the Pentagon. Well, at the same time, as everyone knows, we have this election dispute, for lack of a better word. The votes are still being counted. We still don't know who the president of the United States is. Don't listen to fake news, mainstream media. We still don't know. But Trump is making a lot of big moves at the Pentagon. What do you think?
Yes. Can I just, before we discuss these moves, say that I entirely agree with the very first point you made. I wish these moves had taken place at least a year ago, and at the latest before the election, in the summer. If we'd had all these moves then, they would have changed the political atmosphere. We would have, moved the territory onto Trump's strong, ground where Trump is politically very, very strong. And we would have started to see things starting to happen. I don't know why, and there must be some explanation why this has been delayed now, but it's sad that it's happened so late after the election had occurred. Now, I think these are these moves are incredibly interesting and they're very important. And I am going to suggest two theories as to why these have happened, and they're complementary. I think both are right at the same time. I think we are seeing people from the intelligence world who Trump trusts and Nunes trusts. And bear in mind, Nunes was the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, so he knows lots of people in the intelligence world. They're being moved into the Pentagon because a lot of things happened in the Pentagon related to Russiagate. Now, if you take your mind back to the story of Russiagate, you will remember that there was an individual called Stefan Halper, who played a really big role in Russiagate, who was coordinating all kinds of activities in Britain, who was meeting with people like, you know, Christopher Steele and Christopher Andrew in London, who are, you know, basically, you know, creating the whole Russiagate narrative. And he was the man also who was talking to people like George Papadopoulos and was in some way involved with Michael Flynn. So there's Stefan Halper. Now, Stefan Halper is known to have had connections with various US intelligence agencies. And one of them was, of course, based in the Pentagon. And the other thing is that there's information which is circulated on the internet. I don't know whether or not it's true, but it seems fairly reliable that the famous leak to David Ignatius about the conversation between Michael Flynn, who at that time was President-elect Trump's national security advisor, as he then was, and Russian Ambassador Kislyak, which precipitated Flynn's resignation and all the legal problems that he's had ever since. This leak of this conversation, which was based on classified intercepts, came from a senior official within the Pentagon, to be precise, a senior official within the Office of Net Assessment. So it looks as if there were many people in the Pentagon involved at some level in Russiagate. And it looks to me as if a lot of Nunes's people and Trump's people are being redeployed there with a view to getting all this information and getting all the documentation there. So I think that is one side of the story. The other side is obviously the appointment of Douglas MacGregor. Now, again, this has been something which is very overdue. I wish it had happened 4 years ago. I wish it had happened even a year ago, because Douglas MacGregor is not only a former military man, but he is also something of a military intellectual, and he has ideas about reforming US military policy and US foreign policy in a more, shall I say, Republican direction. In other words, drawing back, consolidating, ending this involvement in these endless neocon wars that we see all over the place. He's also, by the way, expressed some skepticism about NATO. So he's an interesting man. And I think that the reason he has been moved into the Pentagon is in order to make possible the policy that Trump wants to carry out. He promised the American people that he would get all the troops out of Afghanistan and to the United States before Christmas. I suspect he wants to do the same with the troops in Syria and Iraq. He knows that there would be enormous opposition and resistance to that redeployment from the Pentagon. He's tried to do it before. The Pentagon has resisted every attempt that he's made to carry out those redeployments, even when he has formally ordered them and actually said publicly that he would carry them out. The Pentagon has obstructed it. Now it seems to me that he's acting to bring it about. And I think that over the next few weeks, between now and the inauguration, you will see US troops pull out of Afghanistan and quite possibly pull out of Syria too.
All right. So the inauguration, now between the inauguration, if that inauguration is a second term with Trump, this is obviously a great move. And you would expect a lot more moves, like say, pulling the troops out of Afghanistan. You would probably expect pulling the troops out of Syria and dealing with Iraq and dealing with all kinds of international entanglements that the U.S. probably shouldn't be involved in. And that's a good thing. And I think it would signal a second term of a real draining of the swamp with President Trump. But if it's not a President Trump and it's a President Biden, then you only have 2 months less. No, you have 2 months till January 20th. And is that enough time to do what you have to do? In other words, to get all those troops out? Wouldn't a President Biden just move them right back in? And if this is really a type of, say, a combination of a last minute draining of the swamp with a revelation, a Russiagate revelation, say, a declassification and a revelation of everything that happened with Russiagate, you'd also have to look at what moves Trump makes in the next 2 weeks with regards to the CIA. You have to get rid of Haspel because she continues to block document declassification. You have to look at what Trump's going to do with the FBI and Christopher Wray. And then you have to look at what Trump's going to do with the DOJ. Does he still trust Barr? Is he going to remove Barr? You know, Barr has given the signal that he wants to look into the election irregularities. I'll use that word, irregularities. But will Barr actually do that? You know, given Barr's track record with what he's done with Russiagate. And actually, we have news with what they've done with the Epstein stuff, which is he's pretty much let everyone off the hook there as well. Yeah. So, I mean, these next 2 weeks, I think you're going to see whether this is Trump going full animal on the deep state or if this is maybe, you know, hopefully a signal of a very good second term should Trump get into the Oval Office. I don't know. There's still a lot of things we don't know yet. One is who's going to be president of the United States come January 20th.
Indeed. Let's take it in turn. Firstly, I think there is enough time. 2 months really ought to be enough time to get the troops out of Syria and Afghanistan. I mean, I think the idea that it can't be done in 2 months is absurd. The reason it hasn't been done is not because the logistics of this are impossible. It is because there has been this relentless obstruction to any troop withdrawals within the Pentagon and within parts of the political elite. I mean, Republicans in the Senate, in Congress, have supported Pentagon officials who have resisted these withdrawals. And Trump has never felt confident enough or secure enough to simply disregard that sort of resistance. I gather some of Trump's donors, you know, the donors to his campaigns, were also unhappy about troop withdrawals from Afghanistan and Syria. Well, the campaign is now over, so he can now just go ahead and do it. I think it can be done in 2 months. It's just a question of logistics, and the US is very good at logistics if it wants to apply them properly. And the US military is especially good at logistics if it wants to apply them properly. So, yes, I think it can be done. The only question is whether the resistance, both within the Pentagon and within the Republican Party leadership in the Senate, is still sufficiently strong to obstruct this process, despite all the moves in the Pentagon that we've just seen. But on balance, I think it will probably happen. As for the declassification, you're quite right. Declassifying the Pentagon is a big step forward. But the really important places are the CIA and the FBI. And it is very interesting that we have heard over the last few days that there's been reports that some Republicans, we don't know who, have been rallying to defend Gina Haspel. So that points to two things. Firstly, that Trump is actually contemplating sacking Gina Haspel. And secondly, that there are some people within the Republican Party who oppose him doing so. So again, it's push and pull. I think that it will depend what happens between now and the meeting of the Electoral College. If whichever way it goes, I think if Trump wins the Electoral College and remains president, Gina Haspel is fired. If Trump loses in the Electoral College and he's only got until the 20th of January, Gina Haspel again goes, and they get whoever they can into the CIA, and that person, whoever he or she is, does a quick search for papers in the very limited time that's left. Unfortunately, in that case, there'll be all sorts of people across the CIA bureaucracy who will try to hide them as far as much as possible. But you know, that's what's happened. I've not heard any stories about Chris Wray, but I'm guessing that if Gina Haspel is on her way out, Chris Wray would be also.
And Barr. What about Barr?
I think for the moment, Trump is going to stick with Barr. Because being realistic about this, even if a new attorney general came in, very difficult to see that attorney general starting any prosecutions. And in terms of the electoral malpractices or alleged malpractices and the court cases, I think Trump already has a very effective and organized legal team, which is now fighting his battles for him. Probably far better, to be realistic about it, than the Justice Department with all its elaborate bureaucracy would do, whoever was Attorney General now. But if Trump comes out of this process that we're seeing as president, remains president, then I think Barr is gone too. Barr, Wray, Haspel, all of them. And we will have a completely fresh team. And we will see, I think, Nunes playing a much more prominent role.
All right. And finally, given what's happened at the Pentagon with these people and the possible pulling of troops from all these places, which is what I imagine we're going to start to see happening. You also had the statement from Pompeo the other day, Secretary of State, when they asked him about the transition. Pompeo had a very clever comment, an interesting comment, and also was kind of clever in a way where he said, you know, the transition will be smooth. And we'll be ready for a second term. I'm paraphrasing it.
Yes,
but his reply was pretty much, don't worry about the transition because, you know, the second term of the Trump White House will be just fine. So, I mean, he was hinting confidence that Trump is going to come out ahead. But given what Pompeo has said and these moves at the Pentagon, what do you see there, that something's going to happen as far as foreign policy is concerned? What's your take?
Well, this is an important point because, of course, one person who's resisted all these withdrawals is Pompeo. And he's speaking out in this way in support of Trump might be a way of safeguarding his position over the next couple of weeks. But I think Pompeo is not going to remain Secretary of State for very long because I predict that what he's now going to do is that he will want to leave anyway. We've discussed this before, but he must be looking at the electoral map and the electoral arithmetic. He must be saying to himself, there's 71 million Trump voters out there. That's more than enough to win a presidency in any normal year. So what I need to do now is position myself as the putative successor. And I think that's what he'll want to do. He'll want to leave the office of Secretary of State so that he can re-enter politics and look for a position, a governorship perhaps, a Senate post when that becomes available, and position himself for the future. It was an interesting comment, though, and it did make me wonder whether Pompeo has information about the way, the information that's coming out, coming to the Trump legal teams about the direction the court cases are taking.
I'm pulling up, on a final note, I'm pulling up an article, Alexander, from on Pompeo, which I'm sure very few people know. I wonder if you've heard about it, and we'll close out the video. Pompeo met, and I'm taking this from Ikathimerini, Pompeo met with Patriarch in Istanbul.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if you're aware with Pompeo meeting with...
No, I do. I wasn't.
Mouse.
I wasn't aware of it.
I'll just read you the article. It's real quick. It's like two paragraphs. That's it. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo traveled to Istanbul for a meeting with Ecumenical Patriarch Vartholomeos, the State Department said in a statement. According to the statement, talks will focus on, quote, religious issues in Turkey and the region and to promote our strong stance on religious freedom around the world. The statement said Pompeo will also travel to France, Turkey, Georgia, Israel, and the United Arab Emirates, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia, November 13th to 23. What do you make of that meeting?
Well, it's an important meeting, and when he talks about religious freedom and, you know, in the region, of course he means Ukraine, and notice that one of the list of countries he's going to visit is Georgia. So that's what that's all about. It's all about creating trouble for Russia, I think. But it shows that Pompeo is still active and the United States is still conducting, or at least the State Department is still conducting its foreign policy. The Russians will be watching all this with, you know, great interest, shall we say. And it, again, suggests that Pompeo remains a very, very active political figure. Interesting, as I said, which countries he's visiting. Interesting whom he's meeting.
Yeah.
He'll presumably be meeting Erdogan too.
Yeah, that's obviously. That was my take as well. But without a doubt, if he's going to meet the Patriarch, you would have to imagine this has to do with Ukraine.
Absolutely. He's going to meet Erdogan, and Erdogan has been speaking very forcefully in public about Ukraine, which I know annoyed a lot of people in Russia, because of course Erdogan said that, you know, Crimea should be returned to Ukraine, which, as I said, the Russians, I'm not talking about Putin, I'm talking about Russian opinion, was very incensed by. Having said that, very, very quickly, politics, the political ground in Ukraine itself seems to be shifting, and it seems that, you know, more pro-Russian voices are getting stronger there again. So who knows?
All right. Interesting moves all around, I would say. Very interesting. All right, Alexander Markouris, thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Hit that notification bell. Hit that like. Share the channel with everybody. You know, PayPal, Patreon, Subscribestar. Please support us on those networks. We need your help, all the help that we can get in these turbulent times. And also go to the Durant shop, pick up some merchandise, pick up a t-shirt. We have mugs, we have hats, we have all kinds of great things. And of course, look for us on BitChute, on Odyssey. Look for us on Parler. We've been on Parler for a while, but it looks like everyone is ditching Twitter and they're going to Parler. Goodbye and good night, Jack Dorsey. It looks like Twitter may be on its way out if Trump pulls the trigger and goes on to Parler as well. Of course, you have Minds and Gabs, and there's all kinds of great alt-tech platforms out there. And we are also now on Rumble, because a lot of people look like they're going to Rumble as well, which is another video platform. We are now on Rumble. You'll find all those links in the description box down below.
So indeed, find us in all these new great platforms, and also come to our shop, support us there. We've got all these wonderful things in our shop, the best mugs in the world. This one with the flag of the United Kingdom of Great Britain, which is the country, my own country where I live and of which I'm proud to be a citizen. But I'm also, of course, a citizen of Greece, which is my homeland. And this is one of our smaller mugs, Britain and Greece. Greece being, of course, a bit smaller than Britain. But they are the best mugs in the world, bar none. And at the moment, I'm drinking hot Yorkshire tea from mine, because it's been a very cold day here in London. One of those wonderful winter sunny days that get very cold here. So you need your mug of warm tea, and make sure it's a Durant mug. And of course, you can buy our shirts, the best shirts in the world. You see these marvelous long sleeve t-shirts that we have. Of course, we've got short sleeve t-shirts, we've got polo shirts too. We've got hats. You know, you want to go out in the cold weather, you obviously need a hat. And you can see that we've got hats, embroidered hats. With this one also has the flag of the United Kingdom there. And you can see what a beautiful, beautiful hat it is. All our shirts, by the way, are 100% cotton. We've also got stickers. We've got the world's best hoodies. We've got amazing things in our shop. And you can support us by buying those things. And of course, you could support us also by going to our various new platforms, to Rumble, to BitChute, finding us on Parler. And you can also support us via Patreon and Subscribestar and all these other things that Alex was talking about. So support the Durant, come to our shop, find us on all our new platforms, support us via Subscribestar and Patreon, and come to our next broadcast.
All right. Alexander Markouris, thank you very much. Take care, everybody.